The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What up, world? Welcome on and all to another episode of Ocho Live, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name is RJ Ocho. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on Ocho Live. You can watch us live every day at about 3 o'clock Central Time on my Twitter or Periscope. That's at RJ Ocho. You can also watch along live on the Blog and the Boys Facebook live feed. If you're a podcast listener, you can listen there as well. Subscribe to the Blog and the Boys podcast feed on all Apple and Android devices, and you'll get access to all of our shows. We have 4 different shows: Talking the Stars, Bruising the Boys, the 750 with 2-time Super Bowl champion Tony Casillas, and of course Ocho Live right here. It is Wednesday, January 2nd, 2018. It is hump day, so happy hump day to you, and a very happy new year. This is our first time meeting in 2019, so very happy new year. Hopefully your new year celebration was great and blessed and wonderful and fireworks filled. Maybe you ate grapes or black-eyed peas or cabbage, whatever the case may be. I know there's all sorts of different traditions. So, happy new year indeed. It is Wednesday. The Dallas Cowboys do play on Saturday against the Seattle Seahawks in the wild card round at AT&T Stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun. But it's going to be really stressful, I think. I think I speak for all of us when I say that we're excited in a way that makes us want to vomit. I mean, you know, if we're being honest, it's the playoffs. It's supposed to feel that way. This is the opportunity, the next opportunity, obviously, for the Dallas Cowboys to get the first playoff win in the Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott era. It would be poetic if it came against the Seahawks, considering that was sort of where this era was born. It was up in the Pacific Northwest when Tony Romo was hurt, obviously, in the preseason. Dak Prescott came in, and the Cowboys haven't been the same ever since. The Cowboys are 10-6, and they're coming off a really momentum-filled game. If you believe in momentum, the Cowboys certainly do have it. Jason Garrett spoke during his press conference on Wednesday, and he was asked if he believes in momentum, if that's a real thing. And he talked about that, and I think he had a really good answer, honestly. I'm not a big believer in, you know, risking guys in meaningless games. We talked about that all last week and in the lead up to the game in New York. But Jason Garrett had a good point. He said that he does believe momentum is real, but it has to be earned. You know, momentum isn't something that can just happen. You sort of have to develop it and do something that sort of is a catalyst, if you want to call it that, for momentum. And I think the Cowboys did that. If you do believe that you can acquire momentum, there's no question that what the Cowboys did in New York was a big boost of momentum, energy, you know, good thoughts, good vibes, whatever you want to call it. Part of what the Cowboys did in New York was feed the ball to Blake Jarwin. Their tight end is now kind of on the rise, if you really can believe that. It's kind of wild. In fact, Blake Jarwin was named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. That's right, Blake Jarwin. Named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week for Week 17, coming off his 3-touchdown performance. I don't know if you know this or not, but Blake Jarwin had as many touchdowns throughout the regular season as Rob Gronkowski. That's right, Blake Jarwin and Rob Gronkowski had the same number of touchdowns in 2018, and that's because all of Blake's came in a single game against the New York Giants. That is an interesting fun fact. Obviously, Gronk not the same guy anymore, whatever the case may be. But Blake Jarwin is a good thing for us to talk about today because of the way the Cowboys used him. This has been pointed out a lot in the last 24 hours, depending on when you're listening to this or watching Ocho Live, you know, whenever the case may be. Good friend of the show, Bobby Belfield, producer for NFL Network, had a tweet that really highlighted something special that the Cowboys did offensively in New York. If you look at the next-gen stats for routes run and things like that, people love to dissect these. Bobby Belt on Twitter at BobbyBeltTX. We wrote about this today on Wednesday at bloggingtheboys.com if you want to go check it out there for yourself. Blake Jarwin was used in the middle of the field. The Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys in 2018, 2019, whatever you want to call it, they used a tight end in the middle of the field. And that sounds so simple, and it sounds so not meaningful, and it sounds so boring, and it sounds so, well, why weren't they doing this all along? The Cowboys don't do that. That's not how the Cowboys roll. They use their tight end specifically anywhere but the middle of the field, actually. It's like they're allergic to it. And Blake Jarwin lived in the middle of the field, and it's worth looking at that production that not only he had, but Dak Prescott had, and the Cowboys offense as a whole. I mean, they scored 36 points. It's a very difficult thing these days to ask for the Cowboys to score over 30 points. Now, this was a weird game and had some weird energy, etc. But still, the fact that the Cowboys are doing this now is a really positive sign moving into the playoffs, moving into meaningful football, moving into times that matter. Armando Garcia joining us on B2B's Facebook Live. He says, it's a freezing 49 degrees in Brownsville, baby. Feliz Año Ocho. Happy New Year to you, Armando. I am from Brownsville, Texas originally, and I can vouch for the fact that when it gets down to 49 degrees in Brownsville, Texas, people freak out. Like people, you know, if you live in the north, you watch Ocho Live somewhere up north, when it's 49 degrees in Brownsville, they start leaving the water dripping overnight because they're afraid the pipes are going to freeze. That's how Brownsville rolls. That's how the 956 operates. It doesn't get that cold too often in the 956. But the middle of the field is important. In the Clutch 75 on Periscope says, using the middle of the field is going to make a huge difference. And it's true. I mean, you look at what Blake Jarwin did, and that's because this game didn't really feature the Cowboys flexing the total of their offensive muscle. There was no Zeke. There was no Tyron Smith. No Zach Martin. No Travis Frederick, if you want to go there. Obviously, that's a little bit of a different situation. But the point remains that the Cowboys utilizing the middle of the field, specifically with their tight ends, is a weapon. I don't know why. I don't think any of us know why the Cowboys have refused to do this up until week 17 in New York. But hey, the fact that they have finally gotten hip to this is a very important thing. Christopher Wagen, by the way, chiming in on Periscope about the cold. Christopher Wagen lives in Alaska. Believe me, in Brownsville, 49 degrees, that's cold. I mean, you know, you get your parka out at 49 degrees, and you're thankful. But anyway, Blake Jarwin is a guy that the Cowboys love. And a lot of people don't remember this, but it was last season, during the 2017 season, you might remember that the Cowboys had Blake Jarwin on their practice squad after he went undrafted out of Oklahoma State. He was on their practice squad, and in fact, the Philadelphia Eagles were going to poach him. We knew that. The Cowboys, instead of losing him, promoted him to the 53-man roster. That was finally when they released Kellen Moore, put him back on the practice squad, and then Kellen Moore obviously ascended to becoming a coach in the offseason. But the point remains that Blake Jarwin is actually so coveted by the Cowboys, and I say this in total seriousness. I know it's going to sound like a joke. I know it's going to sound like sarcasm, like I'm being facetious, but we know objectively that the Cowboys love Kellen Moore and loved him as a player, okay? The Cowboys are willing to sacrifice Kellen Moore to keep Blake Jarwin. Think about that. I mean, as much as we joke about it, we know that the Cowboys adore Kellen Moore, and they were willing to lose him, however minimal that risk was, in order to promote Blake Jarwin. That's how much they covet him. And I think that on Sunday in New York, we saw sort of a glimpse. We saw a glimpse at who Blake Jarwin can be. Obviously, he's not going to have three touchdowns every single game or go over 100 yards every single game. The point is that Blake Jarwin can be a legitimate weapon for the Cowboys in the middle of the field. And if this is an ingredient that they are going to start incorporating into their offensive game plan, and granted, their season is on a week-by-week basis at this point, that changes things. You know, last week on the Saturday morning hangover that I co-host with James Pledger on ESPN San Antonio, we did New Year's resolutions for our teams. And I said that my New Year's resolution for the Dallas Cowboys was to get a tight end. I was imagining or envisioning the Cowboys signing Jared Cook in the offseason, or maybe using their second round pick to get somebody. I know everybody's got a lot of love for Jay Sternberger from Texas A&M, etc. But the point is now that Blake Jarwin looks like he could be that guy. At the very least, he's an option, and that's a lot of fun to consider. But on the subject of other options, a fantastic article today at bloggingtheboys.com from one of our front page writers, Danny Phantom. I think this point went overlooked. That's why I love that Danny wrote about it. Michael Gallup had a pretty solid season compared to the other rookie wide receivers in the NFL. You'll remember that obviously the Michael Gallup went in the third round. There were two receivers drafted in the first round of the draft last season, Calvin Ridley and DJ Moore. Cortland Sutton went in the second round of the Denver Broncos. Christian Kirk went to the Arizona Cardinals. And then Michael Gallup went in the third round. First receiver off the board in the third round to the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, that was pre-Amari Cooper. Now, Michael Gallup had the fifth most receiving yards among all rookie wide receivers. Kind of in the middle, but that's kind of what you expect from your sort of rookie wide receiver. You know, a lot of people had a lot of love for James Washington out of Oklahoma State. DJ Chark was a really popular name around the draft. Tre'Quan Smith was really, really popular. But Michael Gallup has really kind of blossomed into, and that's why I don't think looking at their statistical production tells the whole story. Michael Gallup has evolved into a legitimate second option opposite Amari Cooper. And the fact that he now has Amari Cooper opposite of him is going to elevate his game all the more. In the Clutch 75 with a great point on Periscope that Michael Gallup is indeed the only one of the first receivers drafted in the playoffs. Calvin Ridley, the first receiver drafted. Obviously, no Falcons in the playoffs. DJ Moore, the Panthers, not in the playoffs. Cortland Sutton's Denver Broncos, not in the playoffs. And Christian Kirk's Arizona Cardinals, certainly not in the playoffs. In fact, when you look at the other rookie wide receivers in the NFL, Dante Pettis and the 49ers, not in the playoffs, obviously. Tre'Quan Smith did make it with the Saints, as did Anthony Miller in the Chicago Bears. He's somebody who really did catch on, another guy that people really, really loved coming out of Memphis. James Washington missed the playoffs, the aforementioned James Washington, and DJ Chark, obviously not making it with the Jaguars. So Michael Gallup was the first rookie wide receiver drafted who was going to the playoffs. And the fact, again, that he has Amari Cooper opposite of him is something that's going to help him grow, over the next season or two. It's really exciting when you consider what the Cowboys have all together. And that's why you look at what Blake Jarwin is and what Michael Gallup is. And Michael Gallup is the one that had the two-point conversion on, the game-winning touchdown to Cole Beasley. By the way, the All-22 angle of that, if you haven't seen it, we posted it on the Blog and the Boys Twitter, Instagram feed, and on our Facebook page. Just go check out Blog and the Boys. The All-22 angle of Dak Prescott's game-winning touchdown to Cole Beasley is unreal. It is unbelievable. I mean, you think, and it was a fantastic play from the broadcast, but the All-22 version of it really allows you to appreciate it. So many people talk about how Dak Prescott can't throw a receiver open, how he has no anticipation, etc., but Dak Prescott completely and totally anticipates Cole Beasley on that route. After rolling out, it was unbelievable. So go check that out. Ultimately, there's a lot of excitement. You know, every week at SB Nation, we put out through our fan poll survey, how confident are you in the direction of the Cowboys? And so I'll leave you with the ability to answer. There are three answers. One is you're confident. Two is meh. You know, you're kind of in between. And three is not confident. So given sort of the personnel, the talent on the team, where they are, where they came from, how confident are you in the Cowboys moving forward? Because, you know, you look at this team, they've got obviously a young quarterback, young running back, offensive line is a little more interesting and in a little bit more of a precarious situation than they have been in seasons past. Your wide receivers are very young, and Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, maybe Blake Jarwin is your guy, maybe not. But, you know, there are reasons to believe, and the defense certainly, I think, speaks for itself. A lot of you answering on Periscope and Twitter and Facebook that you are confident. MJBIV4 says, I'm not confident in Brett Maher or Scott Linehan. I feel like the Scott Linehan situation will work itself out over the offseason, but that is an offseason issue. The Brett Maher thing is very interesting, and we've talked a lot about kickers this season on Ocho Live and at blogoftheboys.com. Let's be clear, first of all, that the Dallas Cowboys were correct. They were right. They were not wrong to release Dan Bailey. We have learned that. We have seen that. Dan Bailey struggled with the Minnesota Vikings, obviously, and they were correct to make that call. So good for the Cowboys in making that call and going with Brett Maher. So overall, you know, the situation is a win, I think, for the Cowboys, as weird as that sounds, because Brett has struggled at times. But Brett Maher has a huge leg. And Brett Maher, granted, he has had his struggles. He did win the game against the Detroit Lions. He did win the game against the Atlanta Falcons. Yes, he did miss the kick, obviously, on the road in Washington before the Cowboys' bye week, the kick that sort of spurred the Amari Cooper trade. However, I think we're all willing to give him a little bit of a pass because of the snap infraction and the turf in Washington and whatnot. That one's a little bit weird at the very least. So Brett Maher, I think, while I don't feel 100% confident, that we've talked about this many different times. There was a point in Dan Bailey's career where, okay, it's 4th and 6, Cowboys are kicking a 43-yard field goal, you took that moment to go to the bathroom, you took that moment to go get another beer, you took that moment to check your phone, check your fantasy score, whatever the case may be, because he was so automatic. Brett is not at that point. I don't think anybody thinks that, but he does have the big leg that is necessary to kind of pull some special things off, which he has certainly this season for the Cowboys. Overall, though, this really does kind of circle back to Jason Garrett. The comment on Periscope says, spotlight is on Garrett. This game on Saturday night against the Seattle Seahawks is a big opportunity. If you've been watching the Cowboys for a handful of years, I know we have a lot of newer fans, people that have kind of jumped on in the last couple seasons, but if you remember that 2014 playoff win over the Detroit Lions, that win bought a lot of stock for Jason Garrett. It bought a lot of security and it bought a lot of belief and a lot of favor, not just in him, but in everybody, in Tony Romo and Jason Witten and Dez Bryant, etc. That was a win that really kind of just made everything better. It was a magical win. And Saturday has the ability and the potential to be something like that. If you can go out and you can beat the Seattle Seahawks, you can win 8 out of your last 9 games, obviously the one loss on the road in Indianapolis. If you can do that, people are going to believe, and there's going to be a legitimate reason to believe in you. And yes, the Cowboys don't have a first-round draft pick in the offseason, but they do have avenues to explore in free agency. We'll see if Earl Thomas is a situation that kind of works itself out. Who knows? But the point is, a win on Saturday for the Dallas Cowboys will go an inordinately long way, and it will be exciting to see what happens. So, we'll be back tomorrow on Thursday. I can't believe it's already Thursday. This week, you know, really kind of changes things. A good question before we get out of here from MJBIV4 on Periscope. Do you think we would have gotten a new offensive coordinator on Black Monday if the Cowboys were not in the postseason? I think the way this, or what this question ultimately means, is will the Cowboys move on from Scott Linehan when their season ends? Whether that had been on Black Monday, whether if that's Sunday morning, whether if that's 2 weeks from now, whatever the case may be. It's very difficult to imagine how the Cowboys can bring Scott Linehan back. I think we all think that. I think we all share that's a common denominator among all Cowboys fans everywhere. However, I will say that we all thought this a year ago. And somehow, some way, Scott Linehan still made his way back. You know, I've said this many different times. There was a point in the 2017 season when the Cowboys went to Atlanta and then they came home and hosted the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday Night Football and the Los Angeles Chargers on Thanksgiving. During those 3 games, the Cowboys scored in the single digits. They scored 7, 9, and 6 points in those 3 games. That's really, really, really bad. In fact, it was the first time in Dallas Cowboys franchise history that they scored in the single digits in 3 consecutive games. That had never happened before. And somehow, some way, they still brought back Scott Linehan. So while it certainly does make sense for the Cowboys to find a new offensive coordinator when their season does end, we have definitely seen some weird things before. Very last thing before we get out of here, Chris Richard, Dallas Cowboys secondary coach and sort of pseudo-defensive coordinator, has already been pegged as a head coaching candidate, and I know this freaks a lot of people out. I know nobody wants to see Chris Richard leave. I know. However, the facts are that both the New York Jets and Miami Dolphins are interested in Chris Richard to be their next head coach. They have requested permission to interview him and to talk to him with the Dallas Cowboys. Jason Garrett would not answer on Wednesday whether the Cowboys had given that permission, but he did say that Chris Richard would not interview with those teams before the playoff game on Saturday. Right after he said that, Ian Rappaport of NFL Network reported that Chris Richard is expected to interview with these teams on Sunday. So we'll see what happens. If the Cowboys win, if the Cowboys lose, whatever the case may be, Chris Richard is at the very least expected to talk to some degree to both the Jets and the Dolphins. It's very, very likely, in my opinion, that Chris Richard is somewhere else in 2019, as much as that sucks, because head coaching opportunities don't come around all too often. And I know that nobody wants to admit that or believe that, but think about this. I mean, when is Chris Richard going to be hotter? I mean, what could Chris Richard do next season or 2 seasons from now that would elevate his name and his position and his stature more? I mean, you know, you strike when the iron's hot, and the iron is scalding hot for Chris Richard right now. He would be foolish to not at least look seriously into opportunities that are presenting themselves to him. So we'll see what happens with that. So with that being said, we'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, January 3rd at 3 p.m. Central Time. You can join us to talk all things Cowboys. You can watch on my Twitter or Periscope, which is at RG Ochoa, or the Blog of the Boys Facebook live feed if you want to join us live. If not, catch the rewatch whenever you get a chance, or listen to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, iTunes, Android devices. Just search for Blog of the Boys. Hit the subscribe button. Leave us a review if you're so inclined, and sit back and enjoy. We hope you're having a very happy new year. We hope you're getting ready for Saturday night's big game. It's going to be fun. This week feels really, really great and really, really big. So let's enjoy it together. With that being said, we will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.
Hello, you're listening to Simone de Rochefort, one of the hosts of The Polygon Show. It's a show all about the video games that you'll never have time to play, brought to you by four friends who are just as passionate about food, soft drinks, and TV shows as we are about video games. Every Friday, we bring you a new hour of personal stories, like how we found the best way to play Yakuza 0, or even what happens when you play so much Zelda that you hurt your hands and can't play games anymore. Above all, we just have a really good time talking about the games that we love. Check out the show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatcher. You can also find us at Polygon Show on Twitter and send a tweet to say hi. Thanks for listening.